Whose Rights, Which Rights? Global Contestations of Women's and Gender Rights.
Blue for wives, grey for Magdas, and red for the handmaids. Other clothing is not allowed. They have virtually no rights, even gender rights do not exist, and cis men rule the society. And why? Because it is supposedly all in the Bible and wanted by God. You might know this dystopian society from Margaret Atwood's The Handmaid's Tale. Hopefully a bit too dystopian to become true for our world, but the idea that women are wifey, have children, belong in the kitchen, because the religion prescribes it so, is represented all succulently again and again, among others by representatives of the German right-wing party AfD. One reason why feminist criticism and scientific criticism of religion is so important. There is a problem with scientific criticism of religion. In gender studies, it is virtually only provided by theologians. My guest today is therefore not a theologian. I would like to welcome Professor Ina Kerner, with whom I will talk today about her work in the research group Contestations of Women and Gender Rights on the topic of criticism of religion. My name is Katharina Usling. I'm a moderator at the Campus Radio Herz 87.9, and I'm very pleased to be discussing with you here today.
Hello.
At first, perhaps you could introduce yourself and talk about what research area you come from and what your current research project at CIF is.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm by training a political scientist with a political theory focus and as well a, I would say, self-trained transdisciplinary gender studies person. And my research is mostly in the field of political theory, particularly in feminist theories. I've been doing work on intersectionality, and I also did a lot of work in the field of post-colonial theories. Right now, I'm teaching in an institute for cultural studies. So a lot of my work is, in a way, trying to bridge political issues and cultural issues.
Today, our topic is feminist criticism of religion, and maybe we can start with the current status quo in the debate and what the problems in the scientific criticism of religion you see right now.
Yes, I'm happy to do so. So, and probably I should add, because you asked this before, that I'm trying to do the project I'm focusing for my time at the CIF group is something that I'd like to call a renewed feminist critique of religion. And I think there are different strands of a critique of religion, a feminist one, that are happening right now. Some I find very important, others I find slightly problematic. And I think one should unite different things that are happening and critically discuss others. So what there is, and you said it before yourself, is feminist critiques in theology. There are feminist theologians in Catholic theology and Protestant theology, but there are also Islamic feminists and in other religions also feminist critics who try to problematize gender hierarchies in their religious communities and from within by critical engagements with the religious texts, if we speak about the big book religions. And then there is a, say, non-religious feminist discourse, because I would claim that most of, say, gender studies, feminist movement, at least in Germany, is for the most part secular or a-religious. Religion isn't really a topic there. But it is more and more in last times, at least in some strands of feminism, I would say mostly in radical feminism, there you find a tremendous interest in Islam. And sometimes Islam is singled out as the sort of paradigmatic religion that is associated with gender inequality. And there are voices, and these voices, unfortunately, I'd say, often go hand in hand with right-wing voices, like by the AfD, that say, okay, Islam is basically a religion that is inherently bad for women. And then often the next step in argumentation is saying Islam shouldn't happen here. And this is used as an argument for restricting migration. And this discursive constellation is being criticized by feminists who are intersectional or have post-colonial studies backgrounds and problematize that as a racist, Islamophobic sometimes, anti-Muslim racist stance. So there is a strange constellation going on of different strands of discourse that, again, as I said before, should be united and should be critically discussed. Because those who problematize, say, the AfD use of gender and Islam or the AfD discourse on gender and Islam often then don't say anything about gender and Islam and in that sense leave a problematization of also that religion that I think should happen besides or next to all the other religious critiques, leave that to the right-wingers, and that is a problem.
So one could say that there is in the scientific debate that there are voids, right? Mm-hmm. And how can these be filled?
Well, the way I want to do it is to write a short book in which I try to unite these discourses or bring them mm-hmm. together. And what I think is that there should be much more debate. There is, for instance, also not that much debate between feminists in theologies and feminists in, say, gender studies in the academic setting. So one of the things that the project, the working group, will do is to have a workshop for which we'll invite feminist theologians and discuss with them. And on the background that we don't have feminist theologians in the rank of the research group right now. This was supposed to happen already, but due to Corona, unfortunately couldn't. But I think dialogue between the different camps is something that is important in this respect.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where the research group is for. You already talked about the AfD and also anti-Muslim racism. And that is kind of what I want to talk about with you today. I would like to single out two aspects in particular because they're perhaps most present to our listeners. One, the appropriation of criticism of religion by right-wing groups. You already talked a bit about that. And then the mixing of feminism with anti-Muslim racism. Yeah, and maybe you could explain a bit to us what forms of instrumentalization by right-wing parties or groups as the AfD you can currently identify.
I would say that what they do is to use Islam or attribute sexism to Islam, and they attribute anti-gay sentiments to Islam. So basically, Islam is held accountable for everything in the gender order that the supposed we is trying to overcome for a while. So Islam is, in a way, being portrayed as pre-modern. And this is problematic and sort of analytically interesting in the sense that it is a continuation of very long discourses. Post-colonial critic Edward Said has published a book in the 1970s called Orientalism, in which he portrays and analyzes the Orientalist discourse on the so-called Orient, which to him is in a way fictitious context. It's a context of the Orient as an entity he describes as something that has been produced as an idea in Orientalist studies, Orientalism as an academic discipline, and then later in area studies of about those areas that are considered part of the Orient. And he claims that this image that has been created in these studies doesn't really have that much to do necessarily with the empirical contexts that apparently are portrayed in this kind of studies. So already the very old Orientalist discourse, which goes back to 19th century, makes a distinction between the modern West and the non-modern, pre-modern East, and attributes to Islam and suppression of women at the same time, this context is sexualized. There is the harem fantasies that go together with the fantasy of sort of very fierce Muslim men. So this is the other side of this, the Muslim man and the sort of the hostile Muslim man, the ferocious Muslim man and the suppressed Muslim women are basically the gendered images of Muslim people that are portrayed in this discourse. So sometimes then the discourse goes about saving these Muslim women from their men, but also in particularly in the AfD discourse, because I would say they're not that interested in saving any Muslim woman. It's about saving, say, non-Muslim, mostly white German women from the supposed danger of Muslim men. And the discussion of the Cologne case is one that the AfD is actually using in their campaigning and in their discourse. And that is one in which then, or they use this case for saying, okay, look, you know, women just wanted to have fun and went out and they were attacked by this horde of men. And they use the attacks that happened not as a reason for thinking about how integration could become better or whatever one would do to attack such cases in other events. There has been a lot of sexual assault at the Oktoberfest in Munich as well, but these are not debated by the AfD and nothing really is being done there that would, you know, be in on the front pages of the press. But the right-wing argumentation then uses what has happened as an argument to say, okay, we shouldn't have these people here, as an argument to restrict migration and to restrict asylum, if that's possible.
Yeah, and they use it very clear. Beatrix von Storch, for example, an AfD politician, writes this argument on her website. So, but anti-Muslim racism is not only a problem of the AfD. You talked about that the AfD is using that argument. They have to protect especially white German women. But there's kind of another argument, I would say, which is we as white persons, especially white feminists, have to protect Muslim women because they're determined by the Muslim men. And this is an argumentation, for example, I would say Alice Schwarzer is using. She argues, for example, for a headscarf ban because she sees it as a symbol of oppression of a Muslim woman. But actually, I would say she mixes here an apparently feminist perspective with anti-Muslim racism and basically pretends in her debates that there is no intersectional entanglement, right?
I would totally agree. I think the problem with Alice Schwarzer is not that she's not feminist enough. She is. I mean, and there are lots of things that she has done for, say, feminist movement in West Germany that are noteworthy. For instance, the campaign against the paragraph 218, which was forbidding legal abortions. But I would say she is not intersectional enough because she does not take into account that her discourse on the headscarf, that it's not only a voice in the feminist discourse, in the discourse on women and men and gender relations, but that it's also a discourse on migrants, on religions, on freedom of religion, and hence in a different sphere. And the fact that the AfD is in a way using partly her arguments with racist intent, I think is a case in point. And she doesn't only, I think, not take this into account. She's in a way, in some of her public appearances, saying, okay, we actually need to risk being accused of racism. She has said this in an interview she gave to Neue Zürcher Zeitung in February of this year, where she says that, and I translate her German sentence, she says that us left-wing critics of Islam have to have the courage when we say the truth or when we want to say the truth that so-called or self-declared anti-racists sort of call us right-wingers or call us Islamophobic. And I totally disagree with her. What I think what left-wing critics of Islam particularly feminist ones, have to do is to make sure, or at least to do everything we can to make sure that our discourse is not being usable by the right side, and that our discourse has not racist effects or Islamophobic effects. And I think the way to do this is to try to, for instance, is to try to link up with Islamic feminists. Now, not everybody is religious, right? I'm, for instance, not religious. And Islamic feminists usually are religious. And maybe there is not sort of a natural affinity between people who are religious and people who are not. That's one thing I want to say. And there's another thing that I think is important, and this is almost a defense of at least where Alice Schwarzer is coming from. She is very much in her thinking about these issues, influenced by her Iranian friends or friends she has for a long time, feminist activists who were really disappointed after the Iranian revolution. She has written a book which is called My Algerian Family. So she has friends in Muslim majority countries and in some Islamic republics that are not exactly women friendly. And her discourse is also very much influenced by that. And that is something which I think also has to be taken into account in the situation here. Because my impression is that in the academic and in the public discourse, feminists who take a very strong stance against Islam do this also on the backdrop of experiences in Islamic republics or other Muslim majority countries with a right-wing government, where feminists in fact suffer from the religious right, at least from political parties that team up with the religious right. And that is something that I think also has to be taken seriously.
Would you say that it is also a problem or something to discuss about who takes part in the discussion? Because I would say maybe Alice Schwarzer is a very loud voice here in Germany, but isn't supposed to be. Not only because she is used by the AfD argumentation, or she uses this argumentation, but isn't it this a debate which should more be discussed by Muslim feminists, for example?
I guess it depends. It depends on whether you think that a group that is affected by a particular form of discrimination should be the only one, or at least the first one to address that problem. I know that there are points that can be made in favor of that position, but I also find it problematic, because that would mean to leave the critical discourse and the work against a particular form of discrimination to those who are negatively affected by it. I would say it's also the responsibility of those who don't suffer from a particular form of discrimination to work towards a discrimination-free environment and society for all. And I think this is what Alice Schwarzer does, but I think the way she does it is problematic because it doesn't take into account that it has Islamophobic effects, or, as I just quoted her from this newspaper interview, she doesn't care or even finds that non-problematic. I think it is problematic. So it's much more difficult to try to formulate a position that is critical of practices, say, of minoritized segments of society, if you are part of the majoritized segments of society, that is not, again, itself discriminating, but I don't think it's impossible.
Maybe to make it clear again for our listeners, because we talk about the AfD here and Alice Schwarzer, and of course Alice Schwarzer has no sympathies for the AfD as a political party, but they come from different perspectives, but where do you see the parallels between the AfD or other right-wing groups and Alice Schwarzer's argumentation?
That's a very good question, but it's also not so easy to answer because, I mean, in a way, every discourse, or almost a lot of discourses, can be instrumentalized by the wrong side, right?
Yeah.
So there are, in a way, parallel argumentation patterns, but that doesn't mean that they are meant the same way. But Ali Schwarzer, I would say, is taking a stance in favor of women, of liberties, of individual women, right? And the AfD is using such arguments. I remember Ali Schwarzer, I think it was, Alice Weidel at some point saying, I want to be able as a woman to take local trains in the evening without being afraid or so, right? So she is in a way using something which I guess most of us would think is a good thing, that yeah. women can take a train whenever without being afraid, as an argument against migration, basically, right? Because she assumes that men who migrated to Germany would be threatening her on the train. She doesn't give any evidence for this. She doesn't give any evidence that men who haven't migrated to Germany don't threaten her on the train. You know, she just assumes it's a particular group of men that are threatening her on the train. In a way, creating that image that there is a particular group of men that is dangerous. And this, I would say, is not what Ali Schwarzer does. But her discourse is as well, in a way, focusing much more on Islam, in gender terms, asymmetric kind of religion, than on other religious groups, doctrines, even though she does say, yes, Catholicism as well, and yes, evangelicalism as well, are problematic, but her, in a way, focus is on Islam itself. And that is similar with the AfD, I would say. And what I think we need right now is a problematization of all those religious contexts, particularly since all of them have a right-wing component, and the religious right of all sorts of denominations and religions is actually teaming up with right-wing parties. So there is evangelical churches in the US mostly, but also in other countries. And there is the Vatican that try to work against gender equality, against reproductive rights of women around the globe, actually, and find alliances in each other, which is an interesting, maybe a sad, but in that sense, an sadly interesting case of cross-religious working together, because they don't do this on other issues necessarily. And they team up with right-wing parties. And that is pretty dangerous and needs to be criticized. And I would say singling out Islam as the religion that is bad for women, or particularly bad for women, doesn't help in that discourse at all. Partly also because it puts the emphasis on Islam, and there are all these other religions that then are in a way getting out of the attention.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said in the beginning, The Handmaid's Tale is based in a Christian religion in the Bible. So we could also have talked about the Vatican today, and we just talked about a very small part of the discussion. And to bring it back to a wider range, I would like to ask you, what does it take to develop a feminist critique of religion that avoids these pitfalls we were talking about today?
That's a good question. And hopefully in half a year or so, when I started really writing, I can give you a better answer than I can now. But I think what is important is to, on the one hand, don't single one religious group out as the problematic one, but look at, it's important to look at different religions also in comparison, particularly at those that are dominant, I would say, in the context in which you try to formulate this critique. And for mm-hmm. Germany, that means Christianity, Protestant and Catholic. I think what is also important, and I would say that gender studies hasn't really been doing this, is to take spirituality seriously. There are people who are religious, and that is very important to them and meaningful. And if you're not religious, I think it's, I mean, there has been a tendency I would say maybe on the Marx-inspired left, also in gender studies, to say, okay, this is not something we deal with, you know? And I think that, let's say, religiosity or spirituality of people has to be taken seriously. Nevertheless, the critique has to be done. And in a way, the feminist theologians are doing this, you know? Usually, I would say, when you study theology, you are religious yourself. Yeah. And feminists who do this often have very good reasons to problematize all sorts of practices in their religious communities, and particular anti-women or anti-gender justice interpretations of the religious texts. So teaming up with these actors, I think, is important, and doing it across the religions is important. Not leaving out the majority religions is particularly important. What I think makes sense is to try to connect these internal critiques by the theologians to a critique of the politicized right in religious communities and institutions. Sometimes they're extremely powerful, like the Vatican, to link a problematization of what these institutions do on their, say, right front, to link this up with a, say, everyday gender inequality that is exercised when, for instance, in Catholicism, women cannot become priests.
And as a last question, because we already talked about intersectionalism, what opportunities does an intersectional perspective on this work you explained offers?
That's a good question. Also because in the intersectionality debate in gender studies, religion usually is not one of the axes of inequality, suppression, dominance, whatever this is called, that is usually addressed. So I would say religion should be taken in as one of these areas one looks at in the complex intersections with gender and with sexuality.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you so much for having me, and good luck with the next interviews that we will conduct here.
Thank you.
This was another episode of Whose Rights, Which Rights? Global Contestations of Women and Gender Rights. Today I talked with Professor Ina Kerner from the University of Koblenz about feminist and scientific criticism of religion, focusing on anti-Muslim racism and right-wing argumentation. My name is Katharina Usling, and I say thank you for listening and goodbye until the next episode.